Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Now, we're talking about mission this month. We started last week. Last week, we talked about when we pray. This week, we're going to talk about when we give. Next week, we'll talk about when we go. And this is all around Jesus' last command that he gave to his disciples and to all of us. Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He says, "Therefore, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the millions and billions of people that have been since 2,000 years ago, saying, go and make disciples. Go make followers of me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And he says, I am with you always. And that mission, that's an action word. That way to do it, to make disciples. And that's something we love to talk about. We'll talk about at other times, but at the moment we're talking about how do we make disciples of the nations? We all can't go, but we can pray, we can give, and some of us might be able to go, and we'll hear stories of some that have gone. And we heard from Joan last week. So as we talk about giving, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6 verses 1 to 4 says these words. You got it in your Bibles? Who's got their Bibles to see? There's a few Bibles. It says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." Don't just give to be seen by others, because then your reward will be in being seen by others. It will not be from the Father. Then it says, "Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." It talks about when you give a couple of times in there. When you give. See, mission, international mission, local mission, it's not just for the missionaries. We all get to be on mission. Everyone is called to follow and live by Jesus' mission, to be outward focused, thinking, who around me doesn't know God? How can I impact others? How can I go to places that others are not going? We're all in places where there's people that don't know God. We all have a part to play. We can pray, "Lord, today, show me who you want me to share the gospel with. Share your love in action." We can all give to someone as God puts it on our heart to give. Do we actually say, "God, who do you want me to give to?" We can all go somewhere. But as we prayed last week, and as we spoke about last week with Joan, I got to sit here with Joan throughout the sermon. We preached together by looking at the word, but also talking about what's happened in India for 21 years, digging boreholes, bringing clean water to communities, starting up a school, the Rejoice Center, that's seen hundreds of children get good education and go through university. And some of them have stayed on to be teachers. Like, empowering communities to just see what God has for them and see it fulfilled. Joan has done and is doing an amazing job. But that's all coming out of some of our prayers and many other people's prayers. We can all pray for someone. We can all give. My house will be a house of prayer, said the Lord. Isaiah 56, verse 7. He says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples, for the nations. So what we pray in here is not just for us. How good was it during worship seeing so many people out here on the altar being prayed for? That is powerful. But we also get to pray prayers that impact Kenya, prayers that impact India. We heard about India last week. I want to share a few things from Africa today. And all the Africans said, it's, that's what we say. Can I get one of those? No, I'm just kidding. I've already done it. Yeah, I don't know where that came from. Oh, I love it. But you know, the gospel is able to go to places through your giving, our giving, places that we cannot go. We have this mission magazine. I don't know if you've seen it. People are like, oh, someone saved a seat. I can't see the. No, everyone gets, no one saves seats with the magazine. This is for everyone. For you to see what's been happening in mission through Pneuma Church over this last 12 months. Every year we take up a mission offering where people actually give financially to the church, finance that will be distributed to these missionaries. These are people that have said, yes, God, I have a heart for the nations. This morning we prayed for a girl during Encounter called Amy Batokio. She used to be an accountant. And then she left that, said yes to a call that God was giving her to go to Japan. And she's a missionary over there. And we got to pray for Amy. You find her story in the Mission magazine. But every year we take up an offering. Last year we took up an offering in June. And this year we're going to be taking up an offering next week. So I want to encourage you to be praying. Your giving makes a difference. For people like Joan and the people that she gets to impact. We heard some amazing stories of, you know, young men, young women that came in as three-year-olds or some months old, but now they're in their 20s or in their teens. And just hearing the stories of transformation was just amazing. I encourage you to go to our podcast and listen. There'll be a podcast there from Joan and I that you can listen to. But what we actually get to do next week is take up an offering using these cards here. You'll get one of these next week. You can fill them out. You don't have to give in that moment, but you make a promise. You make a pledge of what you want to give either once off or what you want to give regularly. And then we actually will keep the little slip and we'll put it in the offering bucket. And then we'll tally that up. And that's how we know how much is going to be coming. And it actually makes a massive difference. Pneuma South, you're a generous bunch. You know, over the last few years that I've been around, we've seen people giving to mission. But let's not assume that, oh, generous church, everyone's giving. Those that need to give are giving and go, I'm not going to do it. But let's actually pray, God, what would you want me to give? It's like, what does this have to do with the gospel, Steve? You're talking about money. Everything. That's how the gospel gets out there. To unreach parts of the world. Read through this magazine. You'll see stories upon stories of what your giving will do. So why give? Why give? Why should we give? Why do we get to give? We heard in Matthew chapter 6, like Jesus is just talking to a whole bunch of people. But also it shows that he expects his disciples, his followers to give. Because he says, when you give. So Jesus talked about it. He taught about it. Giving to the needy is something that he expected his followers to do. Why give? Look at Acts 20:35. Acts 20:35, Paul says these words. He says, in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he himself said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Sometimes we're like, nah, it's more blessed when I receive. But it's actually more blessed, Jesus said, to give than to receive. And this is coming from the guy who gave everything. He gave his time. He gave his life. He died for us. Paul says, this is what Jesus said. But I've tried to look for where Jesus said that. I can't find it. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Where did you say this, Jesus? Paul said, Jesus said it. You know, there's many things in the Bible you won't find in the Bible that Jesus said. But Paul said he said it. So it must have been something people were saying that Jesus had said orally, verbally, people would hear. Because you won't find those words anywhere else in the Bible. But we know Paul wrote like the half of the New Testament or something like that. But in John 20, 21 or John 21, 25, somewhere there, it actually says that if everything that Jesus did was to be written in books, there would not be enough books in the world to put everything he did. But these are Jesus' words. This is why we give. Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We were made to give. I was made to give. See, when you give, something comes alive in you. Whatever kind of giving it is, whether it's time, whether it's gifts, whether it's fun, something comes alive because we were made to give. And that comes from God because we're made in His image. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. So because God loved, what did He do? He gave. He gave out of His love. And so one of the things we've been saying for years is love gives generously. Love gives generously. And it's amazing seeing that over the last 5 years, last year's mission offering has been one of the highest we've had in the last 5 years. Because people are catching it. People are hearing what's actually happening on the mission field. And they're going, I want to give to that. Because that is God's heart for the gospel to go to places. Why do we give? We give because we love. Just think about the people you give to. You give to them because you love. Amy Carmichael says this. Amy Carmichael's got a quote that I'm going to read out. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So when you love something, when you love someone, you will give. And God's love, when it's revealed to us, we get this burden for people that are lost. People around us, our neighbors, people overseas, people like Joan who said yes, people like Amy. We don't just stick to just ourselves, but we actually get this passion to want to give. And so we talk about mission partners as a church, and many churches will partner with other people in mission. And we see this word partnership or partnering in Philippians 4, 15 to 19. If we can go to Philippians 4, 15 to 19. In the New Testament, you see Paul will talk about the different people that were partnering with him and the churches he was planting and how there was collections being taken here and taken there. If you're writing notes, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 to 4, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 to 4, you'll see Paul talk about this, Romans 15, 20, 15, 25 to 28. But we're just going to read Philippians 4, 15 to 17. Paul says, he's talking to the Philippians. He says, and you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, he's saying in the early days when you came to know God, he says, in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. So he's thanking them. He's saying, you guys have been partnering with me. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He says, I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. He wasn't just asking or needing their money. He actually says, for Paul, he was a tent maker. He was making things happen for himself because he didn't want to be a burden. but he knew that by their giving, that would extend God's kingdom in other places where he was planting. But he's actually saying, by your giving, you're growing in the fruit of love, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So by our giving, just part, giving is actually part of discipleship. It's part of growing in God. It's obedience to God. So he says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. I couldn't read that one. A fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And I love this verse. He says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He says, my God, our God, will supply every need. It doesn't say every want. Every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we can worry about giving to others because like, oh, I'm going to miss out on this. I'm going to miss out on that. But the question is, who am I trusting? Who are you trusting? Who's your supplier? God is the one who will supply every one of your needs. So giving is a response to God's love. So why give? Jesus taught about it. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. We were made to give. We give because we love. And we get to partner with others in the gospel. This is why we give. But the other thing is, what actually happens when we give? What happens when we give? Think about when someone gives to you. How do you feel? Think about the last gift you received. Or maybe that monetary gift that you received. How did that make you feel? I see smiles in the house. What are you able to do when someone gives to you? You're actually able to do something you couldn't do before. It actually enables you to do something you were not able to do before. This is what it does for the mission partners. They've said, yes, God, you've given me a vision to see thousands saved, thousands equipped, thousands trained, people fed. But then for them to do that, they're just going in faith. They don't know. They're just stepping out of the boat. But when we actually give to that, they're able to do those things. When we give, God's call, God's assignment for people, daily assignments, weekly assignments, they actually start to be fulfilled. I just want us to open this magazine. There's no page numbers in here, so bear with me. I want to look at a guy close to my heart, Ben. Ben Hay. It's right, if you go right into the middle, you'll find Africa. If you then go Africa, yeah, if you go a page just before Anastasia and Joe, can you find Ben and Irene? Children's Fortress, Africa, Kenya. Ben was with us in December. He actually came to Yuma South and spoke to us for about 10, 15 minutes, just telling us about Children's Fortress. You know, Ben was a guy, he was working in IT, loved going to the gym. He was very buff. And one of my good mates used to go to the gym with him. And then he became a Christian. And he started coming to church. And he was on fire for God. I can't remember whether or not he went on a mission trip. But something shifted at some point that he just knew God wanted him in Kenya. He wasn't even married at the time. But he prayed and he became a missionary. And in 2014, he moved to Kenya. And he started this organization called Children's Fortress Africa. And it says there on the overview, if you read with me, Ben was sent out from Yuma Church. Like, we were in young adults with this guy. He was working in IT, but he just heard, he just sensed God was saying, go. So he gets sent out from Yuma Church, was Bridge Church at the time. And Ben then got married to a girl that was here in Melbourne, a Kenyan girl. He'd met through church, and both of them now serve in Nairobi, Kenya, bringing hope and restoration to vulnerable children living on the streets. Through Children's Fortress Africa, they work alongside shelters, communities, and government agencies to support, rescue, rehabilitate, educate, mentor, and integrating kids that have come off the street back into their families. And so we heard all about this from Ben back in December. And he's been a partner for years. Some have gone to Kenya for mission trips. But I just contacted Ben during the week and said, Ben, can you just give us a little testimony, something to let us know what difference the giving of Numa Church and other people does. So we're just going to put on a video and just hear from Ben for a couple of minutes.
Hi, New Church South, Pastor Steve, Candice. It's Missions Weekend this weekend, and we just want to say thank you. We're here in Nairobi, Kenya. I met the shelter for former three children. Testimony to share is that New Church, a number of years ago, helped fund this pulpit. In the room behind us is where we have church on a Sunday morning. Dennis, my friend here, studies theology, and he's using those skills to actually run the church, and he's leading the boys in the Bible, in the church here.
My name is Dennis, my name born again. I'm the one that is leading the church here, and to say the truth, that the decision doing theology has helped me very much, as it grew me, even that it grew me a lot. I thank God, and I really thank you. Thank you very much, because it helped me in my ministry as a family. And spiritually, the boys have been good spiritually. They pray and pray every day. You must have a family at night every day. Everyone must pray, and then you must read the word of God. You must teach our whole family to improve their spiritual. So I'm very grateful, and the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Numa Church, for helping the next generation. Dennis becoming a leader here and making and helping the boys in their own faith. Thank you, Numa Church South. Hi, Numa South, Pastor Steve, Candice. We really appreciate you. This weekend is Missions Weekend. I'm here in Nairobi, Kenya, at the shelter for former street children. In 2019, a testimony, Numa Church stood with us and helped to fund this container. And we're teaching computer skills, programming, also Samson does chess in this lab, all for the glory of God. This 40-foot container also serves as our office, which we have an office here in the shelter. So many children have come here, learned skills, and all for the glory of God, have been greatly helped. So we thank you, Numa Church. Thank you, Numa South. God bless you.
Man, he makes it look easy. Like to just move your life all the way to Africa with nothing and just depend on the Lord. Just trust in the Lord. They've got three beautiful little girls. Sometimes they come back to Australia for some time and then they go back. But it just astounds me, that faith. And with our giving, we help put mission on wheels, put the gospel on wheels for things to happen for people like Ben. It says in the magazine, because you gave, 68 people came to faith. 28 children were rescued off the streets. 186 children received medical care. 18,908 library sessions were logged. And 64 children were supported in formal education. A church was also planted at the Kaoli shelter. And Ben's just one of many partners. I encourage you this week to be looking through this magazine and seeing stories of people like Tim and Bronwyn over in Thailand. There's just so many stories. But as we look at this magazine, we see that actually last year, there's a page in there with financial impact. The giving that came through from all the pledges last year was $425,845 across the eight Numa locations that we have in Singapore, over in Bangkok, and the four in Melbourne, and the other two, one in Adelaide and one in Hobart. $425,845. And so far, $287,000 has been spent. You know, that's been spent on local and national partners, spent on international partners. Those partners actually get supported for themselves, but then they also get supported for projects that they're doing. So I just encourage you to be reading through this and be praying for, you know, for what you can give. over this next year. But I just love hearing that story about Ben. So when we give, we actually support the sustenance of the mission partners, community outreach, education initiatives, leadership training, church planting, and pastoral care across many nations. Your giving, our giving, can go places that our feet cannot go. Your giving can go places that your feet cannot go. We heard this morning in communion about the story of the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Jesus feeds the 5,000. And that was only men, the 5,000. Didn't include the children and the women. So this boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus had been ministering to these people for a very long time. They were tired. They were far from anywhere to get food. And Jesus was like, we've got to feed the people. But the disciples are like, we've got to send them home. But Jesus is like, what have we got? What do we have? They're like, we ain't got nothing. But then they realize there's this young boy who's willing to give his 5 loaves and his 2 fish. That's what he had. What will you give? What will I give? Because we learn from that story that little becomes much when it's placed in the hands of Jesus. It didn't seem much to the disciples. I'm always surprised at the disciples' faith. Like, they know what Jesus is able to do. They've seen him do stuff. But somehow they're like you and I, they forget that he's a multiplier, that he's the creator, that all things are possible for him. They're like, that's not going to help. But Jesus says, bring the 5 loaves, bring the 2 fish. He prays over them and they start to break them up and everyone gets fed. And there's still 12 baskets left, full, full. What will you give? It's just about us looking at what do I actually have? God's not going to ask me or you to give something you don't have. But it's whether we actually trust him with what we have. In Mark 12, 41 to 44, we hear the story of the widow. Jesus sits down opposite the treasury and watches the people putting money into an offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And the poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. What do you mean? Did you see what they put in? You're not supposed to be looking. But they put in large sums. What do you mean? Those 2 little coins. But Jesus says, for they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. This is about the heart. It's not about the amount. It's good that they were giving to a good cause. But who knows what their motives were? And Jesus sees their hearts. Jesus sees your heart. Jesus sees my heart. And he says those 2 were everything she had. She gave out of her heart of faith. It's all about the heart. It's not about the amount. It's actually about you and I capturing the heart for nations. I struggle to have a heart for the nations. That's something I'm still personally growing in. I'm more just like, what's here? What's there? What's around me? I'm like, God, help me to grow a heart for the nations. I want to bleed for the nations. I want to have a burden for the nations because that's what's on his heart. But then what shows what's on our heart is what we will give, what we will pray for, how we will pray. And God cares about the nations. So this is about you and I capturing God's heart for nations. It's not about the amount, but it's actually about us, Numa South, going, I'm going to chip in. When we all chip in, we all contribute. That's where you go, oh, people are capturing the heart. And at Numa South, And most churches probably, you'd have a few people that would give really significantly because they've got this massive heart for nations, but also because they're able to. So sometimes I can be like, oh, wow, we got a massive amount through Yuma South. But then it could be, oh, well, it was just those people. And I think over the last few years, we probably had around maybe 25 to 30 cards come in. And compared to some locations, at those times, it's like, wow, this is awesome. But then I go, we've got 100 to 150 people in the church. And obviously, if you get 25, that could be families. That could be couples. But actually, when you just see, it doesn't matter what the amount is, but if everyone's actually going, I'm going to come in together with the church and I'm going to put something in, then we're like, wow, people are catching the gospel. God's speaking to people. People are hearing. So I just encourage you that we do this together. We just don't leave it to the few. What could your small gift to Pneuma Missions do? What could your big gift to Pneuma Missions do? In the hands of Jesus, you could reach more people. You could reach more people more than you and I think or believe. And some of it we'll never hear about it. Because our God is the one who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. We hear about communities and nations being transformed. So what will you give? Why give? What happens when we give? Do you guys reckon this is something that's on God's heart? We'll be asking the Lord this week, Lord, how do you want me to partner with this?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at pneuma.church. Thanks for listening.